I think when we all look at the world, we all look at it just a little bit differently. And I think one of the places that quite often in the world we look at things a little bit differently is one of the differences between men and women. I'm going to embarrass my wife this morning. Sorry, Irene. But I remember a few months ago, I said to Irene, oh, by the way, I think I'm going to have a couple pastors over for lunch on Tuesday. And she was like, no! And I was like, well, why not? And she was like, the place is a mess. And I was like, no, it's fine. Am I alone in that? Okay. We worked it out. But the fact of the matter is, I think guys a lot more, at least from my experience of seeing guys live on their own and women living on their own, guys seem to have a much more higher tolerance for things perhaps being a little bit messy. Okay. Women, again, don't have quite as much tolerance. And before you blame the women, you have to realize no guy's ever been judged about how clean his apartment was. It's like nobody ever walked into an apartment and said, your apartment's a mess, you're not a good person. But women know that when other people walk into their house or apartment, they're looking around and going, is she keeping a nice home? Judgments are being made. Okay. And so consequently, women and men look at this a little bit differently in terms of what needs to happen, when it needs to happen. And that's just one example of how this takes place, because it can also be very personal. There are men who are very fastidious, who want everything perfectly neat. There are women who probably don't care. It's a stereotype that women care more than men do. But it really does vary out there. Well, why do I start talking about this today? Well, I've decided today I'm going to talk about our shortest passage we had read today, which is from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I have the feeling this is one I've probably slighted in the past, because Colossians 1 is one of my favorite passages, a magnificent hymn to Christ, but don't want to always go back to the same thing. So today I want to talk to you about Luke 10, 38 through 42, the very famous story about Jesus coming to the village and Martha inviting her into his home. Mary sits there and listens to Christ, and Martha is distracted. Okay. Well, how many of you here tend to be Marthas? Okay. I actually tend to be a Martha. If there's an event going on, I tend to be one of the ones running around trying to make sure everything's set up and everything's working right and everything's set and there's enough food and all of those things. I can get as distracted by that as anyone else in the world. But there's a few points I want to make here, okay? And it really comes down to a certain extent to the question of the choices we make as people in our lives, and as people who are living out their faith in Jesus Christ. First verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Okay. So what's the first choice that's made? The first choice is a choice by Martha. Martha chooses to open her home to Christ. And of course, is this a choice we can have any disputing about? No, I mean, I think it would certainly be our hope that if Christ were to come into our little village or our little area, we would open our doors to him and we would welcome him in. And in the same way, many of you may have had the experience over the years, I know I did growing up in my family, that sometimes it used to be more common that missionaries would come visit and somebody in the church would put them up. I remember in the old days in the Northwest Conference, when they had the conference annual meeting in Spokane, most of the delegates would come and stay at people from the church's homes. Sometimes we'd have two couples staying at our house because they were delegates to the annual meeting. And you would open up your home to them and give them a place to stay while they were at the annual meeting. And we don't do this as much anymore. We used to even do it with youth group. I remember when I was in youth group in high school, went to a big youth group retreat in Seattle, and at the end of the night, there were all these families there from all the covenant churches in Seattle, came and picked up one or two kids and took them back home, and they spent the night there. We don't do that anymore as much. But it is reflective of that idea of being sociable. It is that idea of opening our homes and being there for other people. I think our big concern today is probably because we're less likely to do this, are we losing opportunity to do ministry to others? Do we need to have hearts that are receptive to welcoming the stranger and welcoming somebody in so we would have the opportunity to create that relationship with them? But in this particular case, the first choice that is made is that Martha opened her home to him. Okay? Now, the second choice comes in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary. Now, we don't know whether Mary lived with Martha. They may have lived together later on with Lazarus and so forth. We're not quite sure. This is called Martha's home, so presumably it's a home separate from Lazarus's dwelling and so forth. And so we don't know if Mary's living with Martha or Mary perhaps has her own home in the village. But we know that Martha had a sister called Mary. And what we know about this, Mary, is this. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. So here we have Mary making a choice. Mary makes the choice that I am going to go in and sit at the feet of Christ and hear what he has to teach, what he has to say to the people gathered here in this room. Now, in verse 40, we get another choice. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Distracted by all the things that had to get done. I can just see before Jesus showing up, Mary doing whatever the first century Palestinian view of dusting the floor and getting the furniture and polishing the brass or whatever they might have had to decorate their home, sweeping things out. And what do you think she undoubtedly also worried about? Well, do I have enough cushions? Do I have enough chairs? Do I have enough places for people to be? And then she had to start thinking about, well, do I have enough water? Do I have enough wine? Do I have enough food to offer to these people who are going to come to my home here? And once everybody was settled in, I can just see her kind of flitting behind the scenes, like a little wraith going from the kitchen and outside and back in and carrying food around and organizing people who brought food to help share and getting all of this done. And I can just see her getting flustered with anxiety. But I want to argue that here in verse 40, Martha is making another choice. Martha is making a choice to be distracted. Because what could Martha have done? Martha could have gone and plunked herself on the floor right next to Mary, couldn't she? She could have gone and sat next to Mary and listened. But instead, she gets caught up in all the preparations. So ultimately, you have two people who have made a decision. Martha has made a decision to invite Jesus into her house. And undoubtedly, when she made that decision, she also made a secondary decision. Well, I'm going to have to be the good hostess. I'm going to have to be the one who makes sure everything goes right when this man is visiting my home. Mary made the choice, well, I think I'm going to sit down and have a good time and listen to Christ. They've both made choices. Now, what's interesting is either of them necessarily a wrong choice. No, neither of them are necessarily a wrong choice. Both of them are making a choice that has some legitimacy to it. The problem begins in the middle of verse 40. Where it says, after Martha has been distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Okay. What's interesting is at this point, who does Martha want to make a choice for? Martha wants to make a choice for Mary. Martha wants to make a choice for Mary. Mary should be doing what I'm doing. Okay? And what's interesting is at least we don't have a record of it. Maybe she did it and it's not in the scripture. But she doesn't go to Mary and go, Mary, hey, can you come help me? She goes to Jesus, the male authority figure, and says, "Order her to help me." How does Jesus respond? I can just hear his voice in 41 there, especially with the repeated word, "Martha, Martha." I don't know why I hear it with this little voice of exasperation. I either hear it with that or I hear it with the Brady Bunch. "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia." But, you know, there's just this little sense of exasperation there. The Lord says, "You are worried and upset about many things. You have let your worries overwhelm you at this moment. But only one thing is needed." Well, what is that one thing? Well, the one thing, in essence, is Christ. Christ is present there in her home. That's the important thing. It's kind of funny if you think about it. At the end of the day, do you think the guests are going to be going, "Wow, that was an interesting conversation with Jesus, but the cheese dip wasn't very good"? You know, it's great to hear Jesus preach, but the cushions weren't as comfortable as I would have liked them to have been. I mean, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But in a way, that's what Jesus is saying to Martha here. You're worrying about these things that are unimportant compared to that which is important. And again, it's not wrong to do it. What's wrong is now she's done it and she's unhappy about it. She's chosen to do that which makes her unhappy rather than that which would make her happy, which is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so Jesus responds in verse 42 and says, you know, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Okay. Mary's made a good choice, and I'm not going to tell her to make a bad choice. And I'm not going to force her to follow your choice. Well, how does this relate to us? I think a lot of it comes down to a certain extent to personality and expectations in life. We have an expectation and have been taught by our families, our churches, that certain things need to happen. We rarely stop and ask the question, does this really need to happen? But because we think certain things must happen, what do? We raise our hand and go, "I'll do it." How often do we raise our hand and say, "I'll do it," but in the back of our mind, we're going, "I don't want to do this. But somebody's got to. I'm going to be the Martha. I'm going to be the responsible one." And thank God every church has them, or nothing would probably ever get done. People make choices, just as Mary chose to invite Jesus into her home. Mary chose, once she invited into her home, that it had to be a certain type of event that had to play out in a certain way. And quite often, when we choose to do things, we have certain expectations, certain ways of getting them done. In fact, what's the old thing? If you want it done right, do it yourself. And I think that also prompts us quite often to volunteer to do things. Because if I don't do it, it won't get done correctly. None of that's a problem. The problem is when we choose to volunteer, when we choose to do something, and then we begin to get upset that nobody else wants to do what we're doing. Other people want to enjoy the movie. Other people want to play a game. Other people want to listen to the Bible study. Other people want to do this. And you get frustrated of, why am I doing this when they're having a good time? Well, ultimately it's because you made a choice. But how often do we want our choices to be everybody else's choice? How often do we feel that if we enjoy something or if we see something as useful, everyone should find what we think is useful, useful? Everybody should want to do what we want to do. I mean, I can give you a little one. You ever got somebody to like watch a movie or a show or read a book you really liked, and they kind of read it, and at the end of it, they went, "Eh." And you're like, "What's wrong with you? I loved it. You should love it." Well, God created us with infinite variety. The Apostle Paul talks about the fact, in terms of the fruits of the Spirit in the body of Christ, that we're all different. There are some things that each of you would volunteer to do that others would never volunteer to do. And they will volunteer to do things that you would never volunteer to do. Because God has given us different abilities, different interests, different skills, different talents. And to have an expectation that everyone is going to live out their faith exactly like I live out my faith is a mistake. Martha and Mary chose different paths. None is either right or wrong. The only problem comes is when Martha begins to say, Mary must follow my path. Mary must be the person I think she needs to be. And just think of what it would entail if that were true. That would mean Martha has the right to come over to Mary, pick her up by the scruff of the neck, and go, okay, quit listening to Jesus. Time to do the dishes. Just imagine that. Would you ever really want to do that? And then think about the things Martha wants to do. I mean, people will tell me, and I know many of you are thinking of, well, what if nobody does anything? I know this is unique to this situation, but it's kind of funny to think about. Undoubtedly, probably what Martha is doing is taking care of food. What if Martha didn't take care of the food? Well, A, somebody else probably would. Or B, Jesus is there. What can he do? He fed 5,000. He could probably feed the 20 that are there in the room. He talked to people on mountaintops sitting in fields. Does it matter how much the pillows are cushy and comfortable? How many of the things we get so tied up in feeling have to be done, perhaps don't have to be done? And perhaps they're taking us away from that which is better. Again, I'm not saying any absolute rules in terms of this. But what I do want to encourage you to do, particularly when it regards your faith, is what have you chosen to do for your faith? And is it bringing you joy and happiness, or is it bringing you frustration and distraction? Okay? If it's bringing you problems, then you need to be like Jesus says, you know, choose what is better. Do something different. Because God doesn't want our life of faith to be one of unhappiness and frustration. He wants us to enjoy what we do for others. He wants us to enjoy what we do for Him. Now, does this mean we never volunteer to do something we don't want? No, sometimes we do. There are things that need to be done. We volunteer, we do them. But we try and do them with as much grace as we can, as much joy as we can. And the thing I've said time after time that's just fascinating in my experience, because even as a pastor, there are times you don't want to do something. But my experience, and I think the experience of so many, particularly when we do something that reaches out and helps somebody else, it ends up having a worth that goes well beyond anything that we could have imagined. And at the end of the evening or at the end of the day, we go, I'm glad I took the time to do that. What seems like a sacrifice becomes a blessing. So make choices wisely. Decide what is most important. You do only have 24 hours in a day. You do only have a certain amount of time in the world. Use them wisely, and in as much as possible, use them to the glory of God, because that is the better thing. That is the wise choice, and that should never be taken away from you. Amen.